Welcome back to The Good, The Bad and The BPD. This is the personal story of me, Tammy Mortland, and what living with borderline personality disorder is actually like. We look at the good, the bad and the funny side of having BPD. If you're new around here, season one of the podcast is about my journey from feeling like I do to actually getting a diagnosis of BPD. It was formerly emotionally unstable personality disorder, and then they just shortened it to BPD. So last week we chatted about childhood, school and my first proper 9-to-5 office job. Episode 2 is the first of many doctor's appointments. Like I mentioned last week, I asked my mum to come with me, not just for support, but she could also explain to the doctor from an outsider's point of view, like what my behaviour was like. Because me being me, I'd automatically presume that the doctor would think I were lying. And that I was just trying to get out of work and give me 2 weeks on sick. And that's not what I wanted. Let's be honest, we've all pulled a self-cert out of us when we've wanted a week off. And if you haven't done it, then you've defo thought about it. So I'm sat in this little waiting room at the doctor's. And I'm staring at them wooden kids' toys on the floor. And I can remember thinking, how have I got here? Like, it'd be great to go back in time, be a kid and not have to worry about bills, stress, friendships, society. And now I've got to sit here and lay my darkest thoughts and feelings out to someone who's basically a stranger. Like, I weren't even 100% honest with myself how I was feeling, let alone anybody else. I'd never told anyone that I didn't want to be here or how worthless I felt. I never told people how vivid my imagination had become either when I got something horrible stuck in there. Like, for example, like if my mum, I'd imagine my mum being in a car crash, and in my brain, I'd see my mum's body like in the car crash. And once I'd got that thought, an image in my mind, it was very hard to get rid of it. And there was only my mum, stepdad, an MD that knew. I'd booked an appointment to go and have a chat about how I was feeling. My partner of 3 years had got no clue. He just genuinely thought I was batshit crazy. But I've got to do a whole episode on him because it's worth it. Yeah, I felt embarrassed to be going to the doctors because everybody gets sad. Like, everybody gets stressed and they deal with it. So what makes me sadder and angrier than somebody else? And why do I feel like I'm entitled to this doctor's time? So anyway, the doctor came out and he called my name. And at that point, I felt like everybody in the waiting room knew I were there for mental health. And I thought that everybody was staring at me. They weren't. It were all in my head. The shame I felt for being there was unreal, especially like when people had cancer and life-threatening illnesses. And I were a grown-ass adult taking my mum with me to doctors because I couldn't control my temper and I was sad. I came over all embarrassed. It was like a sudden rush of feeling. You know, like when you stand up and you get lightheaded, you can't stop it, can you? You've just got to roll with it. And that's basically what I did. And that were a right bad idea. I went into the doctor's room embarrassed. Great start. And I was ashamed that I was wasting his time on what I'd now convinced myself in the last 2.5 seconds were absolutely nothing and I were perfectly fine. The thing with BPD is it makes you work yourself up and you convince yourself that you're fine when you're not, and you feel bad for wasting people's time because it's only mental health. Like, you don't want to bother other people with your problems. It makes you care too much about other people and you prioritise that other people's feelings and how they're just are in general over yourself. So we sat down and I explained that I felt sad, explained my work situation, but nothing really in detail like I wanted to before he like shouted Tammy Mortland and I got embarrassed and my brain just shut off. He asked my mum a few questions and he came to the conclusion that I was depressed. And straight away my little shit of a brain went, yeah, but I don't want to top me sen. I like me sen too much. Somebody hearing that would probably be like, what? But depression weren't something I really learnt about when I was growing up. I just knew that depressed people were sad and that they didn't want to be on this earth. That's about it. People would just say, Oh, yeah, they're depressed. Like, blasé, like, oh, yeah, they're pretty, they're depressed. Like, it's not a life-shattering illness. Nobody cared back then. I mean, thankfully, times have changed. And my advice would be now, if you are going to doctors about how you're feeling or anything like that, would be, when you go to doctors, like, please don't feel like they're there to judge you, they aren't. I tell my GP absolutely everything, and she just laughs at me. Like, I'm not sure whether she's laughing at me or with me. But from our point of view, she thinks I'm hilarious and we'll keep it that way. Be as honest as you possibly can. Like, you should tell them exactly how you're feeling and when you started to feel the way you do. I need a drink of my tea. I've got dry mouth. Sat under this quilt in my bedroom, we're eating on next at radiators. Probably not the greatest idea. So yeah, be as honest as you can. Tell them exactly how you're feeling when you started to feel the way that you do. And if you can, keep a mood journal and write down all the times that you notice something, like the way you feel or the way you act isn't quite right in your books. And it'll help you stay on track and all if your brain's like mine and wanders off like it did just do. It'll give you confidence to say it out loud and all, because you've already written it from your brain. So if you don't have confidence to say it out loud, then just give your doctor like your little notes. They can read them for themselves. If you've got a treatment plan in mind, like if you want tablets or you want to speak to somebody, bear that in mind. Now, at this point, I would say if you are wanting free help, so like absolutely free help through the NHS, the waiting time is long. You're looking at about a minimum of 2 years on a waiting list, but I will say it again, it's free. You can seek private help. I'm not even sure how much that'd cost. So we sat having a chat with doctor, and he suggests, first of all, that I try antidepressants, and I weren't overly keen. I'm going to be honest, like, I struggle to take tablets. I get anxiety just thinking about swallowing one. So if I ever die of an overdose, like, by tablets, then somebody's murdered me. Like, I ain't done it to myself. The doctor suggested sertraline, give me a prescription, one tablet a day, for 3 weeks, until I would see any effect. Sertraline's an antidepressant that, it belongs to a group of drugs called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs for short, and if you've ever taken sertraline, you will know how awful it is the first couple of weeks. Let me tell you. I only took one tablet. I got home that evening feeling like I didn't really have much clarity. Doctor said I were depressed. So I must be. Like, he knows his shit. He's qualified. So it was Monday night, and I know it was Monday. Yeah, get your words out, Tammy. I know it was Monday night because I only ever take tablets on a Monday, so I can keep track of them. Even if they've got like days on, I will still start it on a Monday. So I'm sat with this little bloody pill in my hand and a full bottle of water in my other, and my heart's pounding just in case it gets stuck, like, and it makes me sick. That's the worst thing about tablets. But to my surprise, it actually went down all right, from what I can remember anyway. I don't think it got stuck. The rest of the night, however, was monstrous. I couldn't sleep. I just stared at the ceiling. My brain and my body were so tired, I just could not turn off. I weren't even thinking about anything. It was just, I just needed sleep. Like, none of my muscles felt like they worked. It was like I weren't even attached to my body. Just lay there staring at the ceiling until it started to get light outside were worse than spending 2 hours of my life watching Wonder Woman, because that film is god-awful. So my alarm's gone off. I've shit my pants because it noises my alarm, and now I'm angry. I can't even tell you how I managed to move my body from lying down to standing up, but I did it. I brushed my teeth, I got ready, didn't give a toss about anything. I could have walked into work in my dressing gown with a pair of knickers on my head, and I wouldn't have cared. But like, I can remember drifting through that whole day, like nothing made sense. I couldn't concentrate on the simplest of tasks. I got equations wrong that I'd been doing perfect for over a year. It was like my brain had just given up. I couldn't think. I couldn't feel anything. Like, it was just like somebody had shut up shop. They'd turned that closed sign round and gone on. closed for the foreseeable future. So I got home and I know I was tired. I can remember it. It was like I'd never had a more physically demanding job. But my job was the opposite. Like, I sat on my horse for at least 6 hours a day, spent the other two walking around a factory. I didn't take any tablets after that. I told myself that my mental health and how I was feeling wasn't as bad as no sleep. And still to this day, that's the first and last tablet I will ever take in regards to mental health. But that is my personal choice. In that moment, I just wanted to go to sleep. And for three whole days, I kid you not, I didn't sleep. Tuesday went by, ta-ta. Wednesday went by, see ya. And I was getting angrier and angrier at the slightest thing, like off glances from somebody, losing my cool, snapping at people for no reason. And I was just crying whenever I found myself overwhelmed and everything got too much. But I didn't do it at work. I'd just go to my stepmom's at dinner and cry to her and then go back to work feeling like all refreshed because my brain had emptied. But by Thursday, which was what, 4 days after taking my first sertraline, I rang my MD that morning. I'd got snot and tears streaming down my face and I was the most unattractive person in the world. I was like, I'm sorry, I can't come in today. I just need sleep. And I must have sounded like a right mess. But luckily he said I could take the day off, so I did. But I felt embarrassed and ashamed that as a grown-ass female, I'd had to call my MD and say that I can't come in because I'm tired. But, I mean, that feeling soon faded because I just went straight upstairs and got in bed. So, yeah, I slept for the full day Thursday and Thursday night. I mean, I woke up for the toilet a few times, but I didn't eat or drink anything. And I remember waking up on the Friday morning. Like, I felt like a brand new person, although I'd got massive dry mouth. I was still a brand new person. It was like someone had taken my old brain out and put my new brain back in. That day, I rang the doctor and asked for another route to take because the medication just clearly didn't work for me in my brain. I'd already made up my mind that sertraline weren't for me and there were absolutely nothing anybody could do to change my mind. I explained I couldn't sleep. That was actually affecting me more than my mental health was. Taking the sertraline was affecting me more that I didn't get any sleep than it was helping me. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, of course it didn't work. You only had one tablet. You didn't get a chance to work. And the doctor thought exactly the same. But imagine you're me. You've got a new high pressure job. Well, you've been there a year. You're in the middle of buying a house. Your 3-year relationship is crumbling around you through no fault of your own. And your fella's going out and cheating on you every weekend with every friggin' Susan, Charlotte and Patricia. I don't know where them names come from. It was just the first three names that I thought in my head. And I don't know why I said Patricia, because Patricia's my grandma. And obviously on top of that, you've not slept for about 50 hours. So he said medication is what they use to treat depression first. The doctor did, not my ex-boyfriend. And I said, I don't want tablets. Like, there's got to be something else that we can try. And I remember it as clear as day. His reply was, that's like telling a builder he can't use bricks to build a house. Nah. My brain, being my brain, replied, well, they don't use bricks in America. They use wood. And he just looked at me and I thought he wanted to punch me in the face. He thought I were a really smart ass. I mean, I thought I were a smart ass because my comebacks aren't usually that quick. So I asked if he could refer me to a psychologist, like, just because I wanted to know why we're doing certain things. Before I got on his tits even more, he just agreed. But that year wait for my first appointment was agonising. Like, I was still having multiple emotional episodes a day, outbursts of rage like you wouldn't imagine. Like, I'd put my bra strap on and it'd tangle and I'd think it were doing it on purpose. Like, it wasn't. It's a bloody bra strap. My hand-eye coordination was non-existent. I misplace things on the side, or I'd miss putting sugar in my tea. Like, I'd miss the cup by miles and it'd then scatter all over the side, and then I'd get annoyed because I'd have to clean it up. The worst one has got to be, and still is, the feeling of worthlessness. It was just never ending. Like, even today, so what I'm talking about now is like 5 years ago, and even now today, the feeling of worthlessness is never ending. So I did what any normal person would do when they came back from doctors. I Googled my symptoms. And I'm a hypochondriac, so of course I was going to Google my symptoms. I Google everything. Got a cold, got nose cancer. Toenails falling off, that's it, I've got gangrene. So when I did my little Google search, it came back with bipolar. Ultra rapid cycling bipolar, to be precise. And yeah, once I found that out, I became convinced I was bipolar. So as I do, crammed every bit of information I could find about bipolar into my already overcrowded and overwhelmed brain. Do you think it's true that when you convince yourself that something's wrong with you, that you actually start to imagine symptoms? Or is that just me because I am a hypochondriac? I started noticing more and more things about bipolar that I could identify with, like mood swings, length of time the mood swings lasted for. Like, it was days of feeling shit, then a day of feeling on top of world, and then 3 days of feeling angry. I'd also experienced dissociation, and I'd never heard of that before Googling my symptoms. I didn't know it had a name. I just thought everybody did that. And if you don't know what disassociation is, it's the mental process of disconnecting from one's thoughts, feelings, memories, or sense of identity. Like when I was laying in bed and I didn't feel attached to my body. That's disassociation. Which obviously made me more convinced that I were right in my Googled self-diagnosis, because I'm an idiot. So when that white envelope finally came through the door, I literally could have cried. I knew I were like finally getting heard, but this journey would still be so long. And next week, we're going to go through the process of how I got my diagnosis. So we're going to use... We're not going to use. So we're going to go through my assessments and my actual diagnosis assessment with Dr. Jack. So that's next week's episode. Yeah. If anybody's got any questions or they just want to get in touch, you can message me on Anchor FM or through one of the streaming sites that you're listening to me on. I really want to thank Anchor because I'm not very tech savvy, so it were easy to make this podcast from my phone. Like I say, I'm sat in my bedroom at the minute under a quilt just talking to my phone. So if anybody else wants to make a podcast, then have a look on Anchor. So yeah. Thanks, Anchor. Yeah, that is it for today's episode. I think I've said that about 20 times now, but thank you for listening to The Good, The Bad and The BPD. I'm Tammy Mortland. Have a lovely day.